Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, broadcasting from my basement, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. As family, faith, freedom breaks down, we're continuing to raise a vision as best as we can for our generation and for the next and for the next and for the next. Friends, without a vision, the people perish. We've said this before. Without a vision, the family perishes. A vision for what, you say? Well, without a vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. Oftentimes, we do not include the last part of that verse. But unless we have a vision that is established by the laws of God, we're not going to know what to do with the vision for the kingdom of God. We're not going to know how to run our families. We're not going to know what the vision is for restructuring faith, family, freedoms, government in the years to come. That's why we get back to the principles of God's word all the time on this radio program. Well, today, folks, we're going to talk about the life issue. We're back to basic freedoms today. Unfortunately, this nation has been losing freedoms right and left, but the freedom to life, the right to life, is part and parcel of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. We didn't have that commandment, friends, if we didn't have the law of God giving us vision there, then we wouldn't know what to do with all of the blood dripping down the garbage disposals of abortuaries all across this country. But once we see the law of God in light of what is going on around us, we know what to do. That vision of God's law is going to direct what we do and how we react to the world around us, including the abolition of life and the massive, massive Holocaust that has been brought upon this country. Almost 60 million babies aborted through abortion clinics around this country up until this date. But if you include those children lost by the abortifacient qualities of the birth control pill, I would put the number up around 120 million. That's right, 120 million babies slaughtered in this country since 1960. What is the population here? Some 300 million? Well, what is that? About 30%, 40% of the population wiped out by abortion thanks to an era of materialism where people have embraced the beauty of materialism, the beauty of drywall, square footage in homes. In a day where our average home size is twice the size it was 100 years ago, while our birth rate has fallen in half from 4.0 to 2.0. Friends, our values are no longer the values God has set out in His Word, in His law. Our values are cheap materialism. We will embrace this selfish, materialistic view of life and die selfish, dried up, miserable creatures unless we understand the beauty of God's word, the beauty of God's law, and that is to preserve life, to adopt, not abort. And we've got many examples of that that we've given you up to this point on this program. Well, today, folks, we want to talk with Cal Zastro, who is part of a ministry called Personhood USA. And as you know, Amendment 62 is one of the most important amendments ever put on the Colorado ballot. And after some 40 years of abortion in this country, longer in this state, because in 1967 we became the first state to bring in abortion, to legalize abortion in America, signed, by the way, that legislation was signed by a governor. His name was Love, Governor Love, a Republican, no less, a Republican, Governor Love. Is there some irony there? Sure sounds like an irony to me. A Governor Love, a Republican, signs a bill to bring the Holocaust of abortion to Colorado and bring this curse upon the nation. Well, Cal Zastro is here with me, so Cal, before I get too excited, welcome to the show.
Thanks for bringing me on. Blessing to be here.
Yeah, Cal, you've been in this business ministry for a long time. I mean, man, you told me something like the 80s. Now, I remember my first experience with the pro-life movement. 1983, walked into a college classroom. They were playing The Silent Scream.
Wow.
Remember Bernard Nathanson?
Oh, yeah. That?
And I instantly got engaged. Instantly. I was down at the abortion clinic in San Luis Obispo, California within a few weeks, holding up the sign and doing the thing. And from that point on, I was involved in the pro-life movement. Ran as the pro-life candidate for governor in 1994, cultivated 4% of the vote. And, since then, I think Colorado might have become a little more pro-life.
Amen. Praise God.
So, yeah. Well, we got to do what we can do. And this is an uphill battle for us.
It is, but we also have the promises of God, and we have God's grace available, so that means we win. Charge!
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Cal, how long have you been involved here?
I've been involved directly in pro-life ministry since 1991. Some friends, my wife and I, were youth pastors in an incorporated government church, and some friends came and said, you know, they're killing babies here in your county, and let's go do a rescue.
And
let's go do a sit-in.
Killing babies. That's not good.
That's not good, you know.
And I think any righteous man needs to say that.
Don't you think? Amen.
I mean, someone walks into your church and says, I hear they're killing babies down the street here. Okay, a righteous man with a brain, with a pulse. Okay?
I would even go further. I would just say a man.
A man.
A man.
With a pulse.
Doesn't like it that babies get murdered.
Yeah. So you got engaged.
So I got engaged. So we went and started preaching and witnessing, and we did sit-ins at abortion clinics and started shutting them down and having revival, and great things were happening. Praise God.
And this is Michigan.
Yeah,
is
well, right? I started in Michigan, but then okay. I've been around the country doing a lot of pro-life ministry.
And you've been doing this Personhood USA thing for a couple of years now?
Less than 2 years. Personhood USA has been going for less than 2 years.
Okay, and you have four children. I think this is key. You have four children, and that means you've got a family of six, and you're all engaged. It's a team.
That's right. We travel full-time as volunteer missionaries, going and getting them.
Yeah, and your ages of your children?
17, 14, 13, and 12.
All right, and apparently you road school the kids. That's what you told me.
That's right.
You don't homeschool. It's not a private school, public school. You road school the kids.
That's right. Half of their education happens when they're bouncing along in the van.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's nice about that is you got them engaged in a vision. I mean, they're not sitting around in front of desks all day long doing these theoretical problems. They're dealing with real issues as part of your ministry. They're there. They're stuffing the envelopes. They know the issue, and they're involved in the issue. They're involved in the ministry.
That's right.
How important is that for you?
Oh, that's it. That's everything. My kids get the vision. They understand that someday the Lord's going to return, and they want to be found faithful, and they have a multi-generational vision to conquer the world for Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And they know that when the last surgical abortion mill closes in America, there's going to be a kid there with the last name of Zastro raising a Christian flag shouting, Revival!
Amen. because great-grandpa Cal was doing that back in 2010 in Denver, Colorado. And you're out here for the Amendment 62 campaign, and we want to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Amendment 62, this is one of the most important pro-life strategies. We finally got our act together as a pro-life movement. After 45 years of trying to find the light switch on the side of the wall, I think we're narrowing in on a strategy that is going to be effective, folks, in bringing the principle to bear in constitutions, in state constitutions across this country, and we're doing it in Colorado in November. Be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, father of five here. Cal Zastro, father of four. And he's out in Colorado right now for the next couple of weeks because this is where the action is. Cal, you brought your whole family out here. Why?
Well, the only pro-life initiative or amendment on any ballot anywhere in America this fall is right here in Colorado right now. Amendment 62, the Personhood Amendment. It'll define the word person in the state constitution as a human being at the beginning of their biological development. Now, there's some attorneys that don't understand it, but the rest of us moms and pops get it.
Yeah.
So we're out here to fight.
Simple, simple statement, friends. A person's a person no matter how small. That person, that little guy, is a person from conception. Cal, there's no other way to define this. I mean, this is the most obvious, no-brainer definition of what life is and what a person is. When you say that little guy comes together, that egg, that sperm comes together, you've got just the right number of chromosomes. You've got a little guy who's just going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And nothing really happens except growth until that little guy comes out of the womb.
Well, nothing's been added to you or I or any other person in the world since the moment of fertilization. Nothing's been added to us except food.
Yeah.
Fully human, fully alive.
Now, it's critical that you're in Colorado. And I tell you why. Colorado has always been a critical state for a lot of reasons. I don't know why. But Colorado is the battle state. You remember Amendment 2 back in 1992, as I recall, no special rights for homosexuals. The battle for a principle in the area of homosexuality really engaged in Colorado in 1992. Of course, the Supreme Court of the United States tossed the ballot out, and we lost that battle, and now the homosexuals are raging here in the state. And by the way, they banned the Bible in Colorado thanks to SB 200 that was passed and signed by our governor some 2-3 years ago. You cannot distribute the Bible in Colorado because there are some portions of the Bible, as it turns out, that are perceived as unwelcome to homosexuals. So this state has been a battleground in the area of homosexuality, in the area of taxes. Huge battleground. Amendment 1, I think of other amendments, in the area of the pro-life issue. First state, 1967, to legitimize abortion. I think largely because Colorado has been a libertarian, anarchical kind of state. It was a state of whorehouses, of fornication. You didn't have many families out here at the beginning. You had some cowboys, a lot of miners, and whorehouses. That's pretty much the history of Colorado. And so in terms of the moral issues, Colorado has pretty much been somewhere between 45 and 50 state rankings. In fact, we are, I think, the fourth most godly state in the nation. That is in terms of people who attend church, people who believe in God, people who pray. We are something like the fourth or fifth most godless state in the nation. So Colorado is a battle state. Colorado has despised life. We have killed so many babies in this country, in this state, and we've done so since 1967. I think it's time to come to the heart of the battle. It's time to come within 6 or 7 feet of the gates of hell and set up a shop.
Let's go. Let's rescue.
I think that's what you're doing.
Colorado is the perfect place for revival to break out.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not sure we've ever had a revival. So let's just go. Let's do one.
Hallelujah. Let's repent and trust God and obey His promises.
Amen.
And take over.
Amen. Amen. My agenda exactly, Cal. So Personhood USA, how's it going?
Really great. We started less than 2 years ago after we got Amendment 48 on the ballot here in Colorado. And then partner and I, Keith Mason, we started returning phone calls. And now we're working in all 50 states and in several foreign nations on personhood amendments.
So you're gonna do this thing in other states?
Yeah, we're already doing that. And Mexico didn't need our help.
Oh, okay.
But in the last 2 years, every single province in Mexico passed a personhood amendment.
No way.
Every province in Mexico.
Did they copy some of the legislation you guys have been working on here, or did they do it themselves?
They did it themselves.
Okay.
We just cheered them on to victory.
Okay. So Mexico is, it's interesting. Some of these poorer nations, these least developed nations, are taking more of a stand for life than some of these rich, affluent, decadent nations like the United States. I mean, I think there's something to be said for these nations. They're standing up for the principle of life, despite their poverty, despite some of their other issues. Now, of course, we'll sacrifice 120 million babies. I mean, we'll pour out 60,000 tons of human blood in order that we can sustain our lifestyles. Anything for our lifestyles. We can have that 6,000 square foot house, the 4 cars, and the 1.7 kids. We'll abort the 2.7 to make the 1.7 happen.
Shame on us for that.
That's who we are. So what are we saying here? What are you saying to Colorado?
We're saying, repent, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, love God, believe His word.
Stop killing babies.
Amen. Let's love children.
That's pretty basic, isn't it? What does the opposition say when you say, you know what, killing babies is a really bad habit? Get out of that. Guys like Herod and Pharaoh and others have the habit. They did that. That's what tyrants do. So I'm just not a Herod kind of guy. I'm not a Pharaoh kind of guy. I'm a Jesus kind of guy. I believe in adopting, not aborting. Now, what happens when you say that? You look a guy in the eye and you say, I'm tired of killing babies. I think we ought to adopt them. I think we ought to love them. Let's just stop shedding innocent blood. What do they say to that?
They say, well, it goes too far.
It
interferes with women's rights. It'll deny women health care. Now what they're saying in the campaign against us is that if a mother has a miscarriage, she may be investigated by the police. They're saying that if she has a miscarriage, she may be denied health care if this passes. The state of Colorado even published that through their legislative council in their blue book. They won't answer the question, shouldn't the law protect every innocent person? When did you become a person? They won't even answer those questions. They can't afford to because they have to hide it from the truth, because they know in their consciences that the truth is going to win and that these are people and the civil law should protect every innocent person.
And it's important to remember that the Christian church, that is, if you are a Christian, and we're not talking about the 60-70% of the churches that are just defined as liberal. We're talking to people who call themselves Christians. The Christian church historically has always been pro-life. Always, always, always. From the time of the Didache, which is, by the way, one of the very, very, very first documents. We're talking first century documents somebody found of a Christian church. So from the beginning, the Christian church has said abortion is a sin, is an evil, akin to murder. That's what the Christian church has said from the beginning. So if you're a Christian, in the heritage of all of the Christians that have lived for thousands and thousands of years, you're not going to stand for the aborting of innocent children. I mean, a Christian ought to actually, I think, stand out from the world in some way or another. If you say I'm a Christian, but I'm a cannibal, you know, I eat children, I murder babies, I'm a serial killer. After a while, you got to say, I'm not sure you're a Christian. I'm not hearing a lot of the vision, you know, the Christian vision here. Salvaging human life and standing up for the right to life is basic to anybody who has the label Christian.
Well, the same Greek word used for John the Baptist leaping in the womb is the same Greek word used for Jesus in the manger. Okay. And that's the same Greek word. Yeah. Used for Jesus at the point of conception.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cal, talk to us about Personhood USA, Colorado. What's happening in Colorado? I mean, we've talked about what's going on around the country, but what's going on right here? I mean, we're a pro-death state here. You understand? We're a pro-death state.
Right.
And when I showed up in 1994, we moved here in 1992, I turned 30 years old 6 months before the election. So I was qualified. I had to look up the Colorado Constitution. Sure enough, 30 years old. You know, I'm good. I'm good to go. And I showed up to Colorado, couldn't find pro-life. I mean, there were maybe two or three legislators, Pat Miller, a few others, that were standing up for the life issue. But almost nobody on the statewide scene, running for statewide offices. So I ran as a Constitution Party candidate against these Republicans and Democrats that wanted government money paying to abort as many kids as possible. Kill the babies! Kill the babies! Kill the babies! These are the kind of campaigns that were waged in 1994. And so I said, you know, I'm assuming there's a few others. James Dobson at that time said he'd never vote for anybody who would sentence an innocent child to death. So I said, well, James Dobson, Kevin Swanson need somebody to vote for governor, so I ran for governor. I looked like I was about 14 years old. It was very hard to defend my campaign because I looked like 14 running in a third party, Cal. I got to tell you, I was, you know, climbing out of the pit on this one, trying to get a few people to take me seriously. But by God's grace, got 4% of the vote. Now, fast forward, we finally get another issue on the ballot, pro-life issue, a distinctively pro-life issue on the ballot. The year was 2008. Talk to us about 2008.
Okay, let's go for the percentages and numbers. 94, 4% of the population voted for a no baby murder, no compromise candidate. So
that's
the number was 4%.
4%.
Early in 2008, there was a survey done of 5,000 potential voters and registered voters, and that came back as 9% of the population, 9% of the voters said that they would support a constitutional amendment that would ban all abortions. So we went from 4% in 94 to 9% in early 2008.
Cal, that's progress. I mean, I'm happy. That's
progress,
okay? We're making progress here. Keep going.
So then we had the vote. Then the Personhood Amendment got on the ballot, and there was a vote. And we got almost 27% of the vote. So within 1 year, it went there. But things you don't hear about that the media didn't report is also three new pregnancy centers opened in the state in 2008.
Wow.
And I just got done being out on the Western Slope in Meeker. They're opening a Christian Pregnancy Resource Center in Meeker.
In Meeker, Colorado.
There's another one.
There's 27 people in that town.
And thousands
of
people.
A little mountain town out there. Yeah. But they got a pregnancy crisis center out there.
They're building one. They're
Thanks
getting going.
Praise God for that. Great.
Praise God.
Amen.
Also, what happened 2 years ago is that every single Pregnancy Resource Center reported more moms are coming in for help.
Oh,
every one of them got more volunteers coming in.
Wonderful.
And every one of them had more financial donations.
We're making progress.
Even in an economic hard time, people are donating more time and money, and more moms are coming in for their help.
Amen. We're making progress. And so when you saw 27%, I mean, I remember picking up the paper on Wednesday morning after that election in 2008. I saw 27%. I have to tell you, Cal, still a little disappointed. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was a little disappointed. I thought, man, there should have been a few more voters. 27% voted for personhood, for children.
Well, I hope to win, you know, and we campaign
process.
To win.
This is a process. This
but
a
but
process.
We have a multi-generational
Amen.
Vision. We can't
Amen.
Wait forever
Amen.
To end the killing.
That's
we
right.
need to go end the killing now.
Right.
We need to
right.
obey God
yes.
now,
yes.
not in a thousand years and some hope
so,
or thing like
so
that.
So evidently, you guys were not discouraged. You came back in effectively the same language.
Discouragement?
Yes.
Discouragement is not possible for somebody who believes Jesus rose from the dead. It is not possible to be discouraged when there's grace available to rejoice.
Okay, that's not in Cal's vocabulary. We're not using that word for the rest of the interview. So, but
we were fired up. Very
and
encouraged.
And you came back in 2010. What are your opponents saying? Don't these guys ever go away?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. You know, what they're really saying is we scare them because of how many kids we're having.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah,
we're going to take over.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. You know, I'll tell you what. I think our winning strategy, and this is where I want to go on the interview here. Our winning strategy is we're not giving up.
That's right.
I mean, give up. Discouragement is not in our vocabulary.
Not at all.
And when I say we're not giving up, we're not giving up to a principle. And the principle is beyond us.
That's
and
right.
And lives beyond us. And the existentialists live for themselves. And I'm sorry,
yep.
that principle starts and ends with them.
Yep.
That's the problem with the pro-choice movement, which is, by the way, existentialism. John Paul Sartre.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's living for yourself in the immediacy, making your own choices for your own benefit. Affected by nobody around you. Hell is other people, is what John Paul Sartre would say. And so that's the kind of worldview that these people have. And I'm sorry, but that vision of living for yourself, is not going to go very far. It's going to die with you.
Yeah.
But we've got a vision that doesn't involve living for ourselves, living for Jesus Christ, living for his principles, and we're going to pass that vision on to the next generation. And guess what? We are not existentialists. We have a vision beyond our own generation. We live for something beyond ourselves. We're not so myopic that we're just living for ourselves, friends. And we wind up with 1.2 children, the next generation 0.8 kids, the next generation 0.2 kids, and before you know it, our ilk is down to, you know, 24,000, and those that are having 5, 6, 7 kids per family are running 75 million by the year 2147. Bottom line here, friends, is that we are in this for 130 years minimum. Okay, so if you thought, if those of you who are watching the Personhood Amendment said, man, I'm glad those guys are gone. 2008, they got 27% of the vote. I'm glad they're gone. And then you're shocked to see them back on the ballot in 2010. Guess what? We're going to be on the ballot for the next 130 years, so get used to it.
Until we conquer.
That's right. That's right. And they say, well, how in the world can you be on the ballot for 130 years? You're going to die in the next 60. Or actually, for me, the next 22 or whatever it is. You're going to die in the next 22 years. How in the world are you going to be in the battle for the next 130 years? We're having kids. And we're discipling them in our vision. They're traveling around with us in our cars. We road school them. Cal?
That's right. That's right. We train them. We get them going. And plus, you know, the whole child-killing abortion industry is based upon the selfishness and what you said, my body, my rights, my choice. Well, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He came to please the Father. And if we obey truth, if we obey God, he has promised to give us grace to obey his command. It's not like we're going to do our duty. It's he has come down and showed this unimaginable grace upon us to love us. And he gives us desire and the ability to obey his commands. And we're going to win.
And Cal, what he wants is commitment. He wants dedication. God is testing us. And God has laid out these trials for us. He's sovereign over all these things. He's laid out these trials for us. He's just testing his people. He wants to see a little fortitude here. He wants to see a little faith. A little courage. Yeah, we're up against, you know, $27 trillion of public school indoctrination. Okay. We're up against the public universities that are training the next generation of Supreme Court justices, where only 1% of Ivy League professors confess to be born-again Christians. The other 99% are socialist, Marxist, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, whatever. Okay, we're up against a big crowd. Well, folks, God's testing us.
He wants to know whether we're going to be in this thing for the next 130 years and whether we have a vision that is, as Cal said, multi-generational, where it will sustain itself through the next generation and the next and the next and the next. God said about Abraham, I know Abraham. He's the kind of guy who will do judgment and righteousness and see that his children will do it as well. Well, that's the kind of guy he wants us to be as well. And hopefully men of vision will train their children in this vision. And over time, yes, Cal, I think we're gonna conquer. And we've seen this happen before. Patrick overcame slave trading.
That's right.
And he was the first guy to stand up against slavery, and he opposed slave trading in the Irish Isles back in the 600s or the 400s and 500s, and he overcame slavery so many, many years ago. And William Wilberforce did the same thing out in England, and then took us a war to overcome that. But now we're up against other enemies. Guess what? Satan's always busy. He always finds ways to bring unrighteousness, slavery, and so forth to enslave the masses and create confusion and degradation and depravity and other things about us. And he's done that here, too. But again, it's a test. It's a test for us. It's a test for the Patricks, for the Cals, for the Kevins of the world. Are we willing to be God's men? Are we willing to stand up and be consistent and hopefully espouse a vision that will extend into the generations? And I pray that's going to happen. Cal, any last words?
I'd just like to invite people to get involved in direct pro-life ministry. Over 1,000 abortion clinics have been shut down in America. When people come out, they walk in grace, and they obey God's commands, and they rescue the weak and needy. They come out to the streets in front of these death pits. They sing, preach, pray, hold signs, side by counsel, offer help to these moms, sometimes even do sit-ins, and just shut these places down. We believe in the ministry of proximity. Let's go where the battle rages and lift up the cross and trust Christ to win, because he will.
That's a great vision for our children, friends. I hope you caught that in today's program. Cal includes his children on the front lines. He brings them along with him in the ministry. Of course, he's a good father. He's a protector. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He defends his kids. He's engaged in prayer and discipleship along the way. But the key thing is, while the Christian population out there is amalgamating into the world, they're amalgamating the ideas and institutions. Their kids are taking on the culture of the world. We have men like Cal Zastrow that are willing to engage the world for Christ and fill the battle lines and draw the line in the sand and engage the battle of ideas and against these wicked institutions that rise themselves up against the knowledge of God in Christ. But he's bringing his children alongside him as he does it. So instead of amalgamating with the world, let's take on the world.
Right.
And a project like this, Amendment 62, I think is a great way to do it, to get in contact with this organization, personhoodcolorado.com. They need your help. They need your volunteer time. They need your money. I encourage you right now to get behind personhoodcolorado.com. Go there right now, personhoodcolorado.com, and get a piece of this vision for your family, too. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.